This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito today will be questioned by members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Yesterday was consumed by opening statements from the senators and the nominee. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Today's focus will be on Alito's already stated views on abortion, presidential power, affirmative action, separation of church and state, and a wide variety of other subjects. In each of these areas, Alito's previously expressed views, whether as a judge or when he served in the Reagan administration, are quite different and a great deal more conservative than those of the justice he's been nominated to replace, Sandra Day O'Connor. Yesterday, in an opening statement, Alito introduced himself to the committee and the nation by talking about his hard-working parents, his mother, a teacher and principal, and his father, the head of the nonpartisan New Jersey State Legislative Research Service, and how they formed his values. He was raised, he said, in a neighborhood where few of the adults had a college education, and when he went to Princeton, it was just 12 miles down the road, but a whole world away. It was the late 1960s and early 70s, he said, and the campus was in turmoil.
I saw some very smart people and very privileged people behaving irresponsibly, and I couldn't help making a contrast between some of the worst of what I saw on the campus and the good sense and the decency of the people back in my own community.
It was a sotto voce acknowledgement of the conservative side of the divide Alito occupied in the early days of the culture wars. He went on to serve in the Reagan administration, advancing a conservative agenda, but he seemed to suggest things changed when he became a judge in 1990.
When I became a judge, I stopped being a practicing attorney, and that was a big change in role. The role of a practicing attorney is to achieve a desirable result for the client in the particular case at hand. But a judge can't think that way. A judge can't have any agenda. A judge can't have any preferred outcome in any particular case. And a judge certainly doesn't have a client. The judge's only obligation, and it's a solemn obligation, is to the rule of law. And what that means is that in every single case, the judge has to do what the law requires.
Democrats were clear, though, that they weren't accepting anyone's blanket assurances about the nominee, Senator Patrick Leahy.
Supreme Court nomination should not be conducted through a series of winks and nods designed to reassure a small faction of our population while leaving the American people in the dark.
Indeed, some Democrats were openly skeptical about Alito's claim to having no agenda. Senator Charles Schumer said he intends to press the nominee about his record, and he expects answers.
The logic of the mantra repeated by John Roberts at his hearing, that one could not speak on a subject because the issue was likely to come before him, quickly vanishes when the nominee has a written record, as you do, on so many subjects. Even under the so-called Ginsburg precedent, which was endorsed by Judge Roberts, Republican senators, the White House, you have an obligation to answer questions on topics that you have written about.
On abortion, for instance, Alito wrote in 1985 that in his view, the Constitution does not protect a woman's right to an abortion. Said Schumer, you've already given a prejudgment on a question likely to come before the court, so I submit you cannot use that as a basis for not answering. But Republican Lindsey Graham noted that an answer that will please the Democrats will alienate some Republicans.
Millions of unborn children have been sent to certain death because of what judges have done. It's a two-sided argument. It's an emotional event in our society.
And most Republicans, like John Cornyn, urge the nominee, one way or another, to avoid answering substantive questions.
What I want to also make sure of is that we don't hold you to a double standard, that we don't expect of you answers to questions that Justice Ginsburg and others declined to answer in the interests of the independence of the judiciary and in the interests of observing the canons of judicial ethics.
Democrats said yesterday they want to make sure that Alito falls within the judicial mainstream, prompting Republican Lindsey Graham to note that the Republicans won the national election in 2004.
I expect that most all of us, if not all of us, will vote for you. And I would argue that we represent from the center line to the right ditch in our party. And if all of us vote for you, you got to be pretty mainstream.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
And you can hear a live audio stream of the Alito hearings at npr.org.